Passage E. There was a fashion for marks of approval, seals and so on, each claiming to give an independent assurance of quality of the goods to which they are attached, full stop. They varied greatly in their significance and true value, full stop. The British Standards Mark was a reputable symbol, which was backed by a considerably more thorough system of testing than any other such mark, full stop. It was, in fact, the sign of an independent guarantee, issued by the British Standards Institution, that an article measured up to the standards they prescribed, full stop. Testing and inspection went on continuously after a license had been granted to ensure that the goods remained up to standard, full stop. A British standard was a technical booklet which said, in the public interest, how material and products should be made or measured, tested or described, full stop. These standards applied to every kind of product, many being concerned with textiles, fabrics, and clothing, full stop. A guide for manufacturers was published, setting out a system of honest and informative labelling of fabrics, full stop. To qualify for the British Standard Mark, a product had to be tested many times on a basis of statistics, to provide a regular check that future products were as good as the original one, full stop. In addition, the manufacturer was required to do regular testing as part of a complicated quality control system, full stop. The factory was liable to be visited by inspectors at any time, full stop. The continuous and systematic rechecking was another unique feature of the British Standards Mark, though even so, some substandard goods slipped through from time to time, full stop. This system had some limitations. In the first place, obviously, it was difficult to reach agreement on how high the pass standard should be, full stop. Set too low, it was useless, and if it were set too high, either very few firms would conform to it, or the products would be too expensive, full stop. Secondly, because proper supervision was complicated and costly, few manufacturers would accept it. And thirdly, as there was no compulsion about the matter, and many who could qualify for the mark did not, in fact, carry it on their goods, there was no method of telling whether unmarked goods were above or below standard, full stop. Nevertheless, the existence of a reputable quality mark was a help if an assurance was needed about some important characteristic that could not be estimated by ordinary inspection, full stop. Also, the actual existence of a published and officially accepted standard influences even those who did not use it, and encourages manufacturers to improve their own standards, full stop. Whatever may be claimed, there was no such thing as a quality mark which could guarantee every desirable characteristic, but the consumer was entitled to expect from any quality mark that it should denote certain essential, clearly specified, and therefore limited characteristics, and that it should be backed by a continuous testing and inspection system that was sufficiently thorough to ensure that the goods, in fact, complied with what was specified. Full stop.